Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock on this rather slow news day going on today. I say that quite tongue-in-cheek. If you've been listening to the radio much today or been online, certainly a day of tremendous breaking news stories, and we're going to look at some of this stuff that's happening. I have scheduled to be with us Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and we'll be joining him in just a moment. Well, let's open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We do pray that you would bless the program today and use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to people. We know that we see things that are happening in the world around us. Some of these things that are happening in the news, we know that it can be difficult and it can be challenging sometimes as a believer to know where to turn and what to make of things. But Lord, pray that you'd give us some guidance through your Spirit, through your Word, and we just thank you for the opportunity we have today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As I said, this is Pastor Al Davis with Live with Pastor Al. Good program just before, appreciate Brother Lutz and his, can hardly talk there for a moment. Appreciate Brother Lutz and his program there just before us, and hope you'll stay tuned. Pastor Rusnacko will be on after us at 2 o'clock. Good program as well. I know it'll be a blessing to you, but right now, today, we want to take a few minutes and look at some of the things that are happening in the news today. And just a reminder, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can follow us there. And you can also check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And more information there. But today, I am joined with my friend Chris Long, president of Ohio Christian Alliance. Chris Long, welcome to the program today.
Oh, thanks, Pastor Al. It's good to be with you.
Well, I'm glad you could make it. I jokingly started the program saying on this slow news day, I had originally planned on talking with you, as we had discussed previously, about the situation with the closure of ECOT, Ohio's largest online school, and the threat to school choice there, and also on House Bill 160, the Ohio Fairness Act, and we can probably touch on some of those things too. And I thought it would be nice to talk about a little bit about your reaction to the State of the Union address on Tuesday, and then, of course, just before leaving to come up here to the radio station, the breaking news, which I'm sure you've seen, that the FISA memo, the House Intelligence Committee memo, that everybody's been talking about except for the mainstream media, for the most part, was released today, and the full memo, I've got a copy on my computer. Have you seen that yet?
You know, I haven't. I was spending a meeting for the last couple of hours, actually, with a candidate that's running for U.S. Senate here in Ohio, so I haven't seen that. We anticipated its release today, so I'm sure that a lot of folks will be going over this. We do know that it's going to be earth-breaking and very, incriminating evidence, I think, to some members of the FBI who are politicizing the department. And there's going to be a lot of shakeup, and I think there's going to be some people losing their jobs over at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And since you haven't read it yet or had a chance to familiarize yourself with it, we probably won't spend as much time on it. We'll get back to some of the other topics that we talked about before. But let me just give you some highlights here. I haven't had my opportunity to really analyze it, you know, in detail, but it's been unclassified, of course, and been released. It was, you can see the previous classifications, top secret / no foreign, which means it wasn't to be distributed to any foreign governments. But some of the highlights here that we know is that it confirms that Andrew McCabe, remember him, confirmed to the committee that no FISA warrant would have been sought from the FISA court without the Steele dossier. That's shown in here. The FISA court was not told that the Fusion GPS dossier was founded by the Clinton campaign. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't play one on the radio, but isn't there such a thing that if you have a warrant that's based on false accusations, false information, that that's not going to hold up in court?
Well, yeah, again, you know, this is what the questions are going to start coming forth, is that did they know that this was falsified information and that basically were lying to the court with false information to acquire a warrant, a FISA warrant, to basically, watch or monitor a presidential campaign unprecedented in American history.
Oh, absolutely.
A violation of who we are as an American republic, a violation of our freedom and our campaigns. And it's very worrisome to think that the administration that was in power at the time, which of course was the Obama administration, it was his Justice Department. These are officials that were appointed by Mr. Obama. And if this is found out to be true, again, this is very, dangerous road to tread. And I think that's why many were fearful in the FBI, not wanting this to go forward, because these people are guilty of crimes.
And yes. Yes.
And charges will be levied against them by the current
and should be.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
Yes, and in fact, it does say in the memo that the senior DOJ and or Department of Justice and senior FBI officials knew the political origins of the Steele dossier. You can see why they didn't want this out. It's beginning to sound reasonable when Comey, James Comey, made that statement just yesterday or so about this being released, and some of the Democrats that were saying this shouldn't be released because the average American won't be able to understand this. I'm sorry, it's understand. I understand it. Somebody broke the law, and it needs to be held accountable. So.
Isn't that just it? It's that they didn't want this to be known because basically they've been caught red-handed with this memo. So, you know, thankfully, Congressman Nunes and his committee did their due diligence to move forward, went through the process of getting this memo released, and of course the president obviously has now released it to the general public. Much to be said about this in the coming days, and, you know, again, Pastor, we said everything that can be everything that's hidden will be revealed, the Bible says. And so, in the truth shall set you free. Well, in this instance, I think the American public will be set free, but others will be incarcerated because the truth is now known. So both are true.
Absolutely. And you can see the seriousness which the House Intelligence Committee took this document. They had it classified top secret, and you know, a lot of people don't understand classification, and my time in the Air Force, I handled literally thousands of classified documents, and I shipped them to various parts of the world as some of the stuff I did. And you know, when you look at something top secret, this is something, it's kind of like the earthquakes, you know, when they give you the Richter scale, a 6 is 10 times, you know, higher than a 5, and a 7 is 10 times higher than a 6. It's on a logarithmic scale. And when you go from class, you know, up from unclassified to confidential to secret, and when you get up to top secret, that's like a logarithmic increase in seriousness of the type of material that's involved here. And then the caveat, not to be distributed to foreign governments, because they believe that the information in here is information that could bring serious harm to the United States and our national security. And for the House Intelligence Committee and the President of the United States of America to determine that this needed to be unclassified to be released to the American people shows the gravity of what this memo addresses and how important that these people believe that this document is for people like you and I to be able to look at and to be able to share with our listeners today. So I would encourage people, go online, get a chance to look at this. It's material that needs to be seen, not through the lens of CNN, but through the lens of the actual document. And I'll be posting links to it on our Facebook page and on our web page as well. And I'm sure you'll be talking about this more on your website as well. Could you give out your information there, Chris?
Yes, our website is ohioca.org, or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance, and they'll find out more about our organization. We will put the memo up there as well so they can read it in its entirety and be able to print it in a PDF as well. We'll
absolutely
do that here this afternoon.
All right, and I can send you a copy to the link for the actual link on the House website as well. I can do that here when we get done with the program.
Yes, please.
But there's more that's going to come out on this, and we're just scratching the surface, and the memo apparently is just scratching the surface. But there's other things that are going on too, and I know when we talked about coming on the program here, we wanted to give folks an update on what's happening with the effort to save the ECOT and the situation there and the threat to school choice in Ohio. And Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance, what can you update us on that situation?
Well, unfortunately, it's not a good situation for ECOT currently, and that is that last week we were hoping, as the listeners are aware of, that we were hoping that the governor, the Ohio Department of Education, and the ECOT officials, which is an online institution that had upwards of 12,000 students and nearly 2,300 seniors in this current calendar school year, and their sponsor voted to close the school because of lack of funding from the Ohio Department of Education. And it's a long saga that goes back a couple of years ago where they began to question the school's viability because of login rates of the students that were enrolled. Now, obviously, this online school, when you say 12,000 students, that's tantamount to a large school district in Ohio like Akron or Toledo. And I'm sure the teachers union and the National Education Association and the people that push public schools all the time didn't really care that there was this many students that were opting for a online home version of school, that parents and teachers and the students can do that from their very home. And, of course, this type of school actually benefited a lot of special needs children for whatever reason, or it was students that are high achievers. So a variety of students were certainly benefiting from ECOT schools, and they had graduated something like 20,000 students over the last number of years. So they've had great success. And it's one of the school choice options here in Ohio. Well, they changed the login rates. Then the state was saying, well, you owe us millions of dollars in fees. And it put the school in a financial jeopardy. And then, of course, it culminated on the 19th of this month where the sponsor said, we can't go forward. You don't have enough money to finish the school year, because the Ohio Department of Education arbitrarily chose not to accept a repayment plan where they scaled back the payments to $1.9 million a month, and even ECOT offered to sell its corporate headquarters at $6.8 million just to get the kids to the end of the year, and they turned that down as well. Well, what's happened since then is a judge has gotten involved. He put a manager or a bankruptcy attorney involved. They're supposedly turned all the records of the kids back to the district, school districts. You think, okay, they'll be able to be processed into schools. Not so fast. Only 4,000 that we know of have applied to other online schools. Only a handful that have gone back to public schools. They didn't want to go to the public school in their neighborhood to begin with, because it may have even been a dangerous situation for them, or some of these kids have been bullied, or it's an inner city school that's not very good, and so the parents and the kids did not want to go there. So it's kind of a mess right now, kind of thrown to the four winds, and we're trying to track down the information. The reason why it's problematic is that the court also put a gag order on ECOT and actually just terminated the teachers just a few days ago, one day short of their 120-day calendar, which would have given them a full year of vestment. And the bankruptcy attorney said the day before that 120 days, on the 119th day, said you are immediately suspended. So some really bad situations that are unfolding. We're still gathering information. There's thankfully some conservative news outlets that, and other media outlets that are tracking this. As a volunteer group ourselves, we're helping the public to understand what might happen with these kids, and we hope that they don't fall in the cracks. Some of them actually were formerly dropout students, but it had actually started to excel in econ, the online school. And we just hope that, it's all about the students at this point. And we're hoping that there's going to be a court case this month with the state Supreme Court. Hopefully, if that's favorable to econ, that will begin to turn around their fortunes and get some things back on track. But still, so much is unknown, Pastor, and I appreciate you allowing us to draw attention to it. Again, the ECOT school closure crisis, 12,000 students, 2,300 seniors, somewhere around 4,000 has made their way to other schools. And Andy Brenner, who is the chairman of the Education Committee in the House of Representatives here in Ohio, he's urging the superintendent of state schools and the department to give him numbers. He wants to know what happened to these kids, and he's going to stay on top of it. So that's good news.
Absolutely, and we'll have to continue to pray for this. And, you know, I look at it, and I think to myself, when Cleveland, you know, the school district that's located not too far to the north of where I'm sitting right now, when they were having problems and unable to meet their budget and having problems with enrollment numbers and things like that, I seem to recall that the state sent in somebody to oversee the district and kept them going, didn't they?
That's right, and we were hoping that something similar would have happened here with ECOT, but
right.
They just seem to want to just throw ECOT off the cliff, and somewhere in there, the governor also is behind this. He claims innocence, but the facts are coming forward that he has actually been a manipulator in all this and actually helping with the demise of ECOT, and it's, so it seems as if it's political reasons behind the scene, and that's what's so distasteful, because the 12,000 students are at stake in our future Ohioans, and that's unacceptable on every level.
Yes, Third Rail Politics had an article by Connor Brown called SOS Save Our Schools. The options were many. Governor Kasich could have ended ECOT saga in 2016, and they start the article with this quote from Governor Kasich, where he said, and this is why he expanded Medicaid back in 2015, I believe it was, where he was responding to a question where he said, "I don't know about you, lady, but when I get to the pearly gates, I'm going to have to answer for what I've done for the poor." And I would like to wonder what he's going to answer when he gets to the pearly gates for what he's done to the students. I'm not going
right.
to go.
And a lot of these, that's oh. right. A lot of these kids, you and I have both met them. These are special needs students. These are kids that were bullied at the local school. They panicked when the notion of having to go back to the public school in their neighborhood. One of the teachers testified. She said, "I went and visited one of the students. She said, I was nervous just getting out of my car and going, to her door. It was such a bad neighborhood. And I felt, threatened for my own safety." So she said, "I couldn't imagine them having to walk several blocks to school each day back and forth for what they might encounter. So, this is a real situation with real people, real Ohioans and school children that need better from us, and not what the Department of Education and the governor has done. They haven't done enough, in our opinion.
Absolutely. And when we step back and look at this, and of course we want to pray for the kids and especially the seniors that should be thinking about college or military or vocational school or going into their own career right after school, whatever, they're heading towards, rather than worrying about trying to find a school and whether or not they actually can graduate now. But when we look at the larger picture here, what does this bode for school choice in Ohio, in your opinion?
Well, we're seeing an assault on school choice in Ohio, not just ECOT, but other online schools as well. We had the press conference, and Representative Robert Sprague from Findlay, Ohio, talked about an online school in his district that was actually tied to the local school, and 1,700 students that accessed this online school and was very successful. And the state came in with the same arbitrary conditions and criteria, and said, "You're in noncompliance. You now owe us $2 million in back payments." And it put the school in financial crisis. So this story's being played out, other charter schools, and we're not just saying that some of this needs to be audited and we want fiscal responsibility, certainly with those who are charter schools, online schools, those kinds of things, like you would for any school. And by the way, public schools, quite honestly, mm-hmm. for that matter, that they're keeping up with standards, that they're doing right by the children, that they're teaching, and that they're using the resources that the state is giving them in a proper manner. We believe in accountability. But this seems to be a method by those who really are not for school choice to begin to draw back on the progress Ohio has made over the years in school choice. And by the way, if you're a homeschooler out there,
right.
don't think that you're exempt, because it's just a matter of time. They'll start changing the criteria and the requirements, and you'll find yourself in noncompliance. And then through attrition, we'll see fewer and fewer people wanting to homeschool because the State Board of Education put arbitrary criteria on homeschoolers as well. So all school choice is at threat at this point. That's why we're sending the alarm.
Absolutely, and I appreciate what you're doing. And Chris, I mean, we're just the half hour's going by so fast today, have so much to cover. And I appreciate the work you're doing on this. Encourage people to check out the website, ohioca.org, correct?
Yes, ohioca.org, or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance.
Absolutely. Well, let's see if we can, in the last few minutes that we have, touch on the Ohio Fairness Act, House Bill 160 here, and have you encountered much with this as yet? It's relatively new, isn't it?
Well, actually, this bill gets introduced for the last 10 years every General Assembly. It's a special rights bill for homosexuals, and carving out a special right. Look, all Ohioans have the same constitutional rights. You
right.
have them, I have them. You know, everyone has the same constitutional rights. We don't want discrimination of anyone. But the fact is that this bill comes along and says LGBTQ rights bill. Well, we call it a special rights bill because it's carving out a special rights. What it will actually do is put individuals, businesses, and churches at a disadvantage if they don't comply to transgender bathrooms, for instance,
mm-hmm.
or have public accommodation for homosexual weddings at churches where the church doctrine is contrary to that. They believe that a marriage is between a man and a woman, and they don't want their facilities and will not allow their facilities to be used for this, that these lawsuits could be levied against the church, leveled against individuals, and even businesses. And so we've always opposed this law as it's come along. There is no distinct discrimination against homosexuals or lesbians in the state of Ohio. Sure, discrimination happens to everyone at some level at some point. But I just talked to someone right now who says, well, I have many apartments. I don't vet people as to what their sexual orientation is. We rent to all. So, you know, by and large, there is no widespread discrimination that they claim in this bill, but it actually would be a bullying bill to bully the church, bully
right.
those who have religious right and conscience of what we believe is right sexual identity before God, and that a man is a man, a woman is a woman, and that a marriage is between a man and the woman, a woman and the nuclear family. So this would put at risk at public policy and codify it into law if it was to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our concern is that there's more and more in the Ohio legislature that favor this type of sympathetic approach to the LGBTQ bill, House Bill 160, and that's why we're asking people to call your state representative, urge them to vote no, and not to support House Bill 160.
All right. Well, we're fast, as I said, running out of time, about a minute or two left. And I was going to mention, it's rather interesting. They managed to kill the Pastors Protection Act there at the State House. And one of the groups that was was against the Pastors Protection Act, Equality Ohio, one of the big supporters of this one now. And it's rather interesting. One of the things that they say, we didn't need the Pastors Protection Act, is because, well, there's nobody forcing pastors and churches to do same-sex marriage. So it seems like they're determined to put something into the Ohio code that's going to do just that, doesn't it?
Well, that's right. That's what some are trying to do. But we're going to keep vigilant and let the folks know so that they can weigh in and let their legislators know just how they feel about the matter.
Well, Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance, I want to thank you for being my guest today on this news day and sharing some thoughts about some of the things that are happening. And I want people to check you out. Give out your website there again real quick.
Again, that's the Ohio Christian Alliance, or just go to ohioca.org.
Well, thank you, Chris. Thank you so much. And listeners, stay tuned and keep praying and don't get out of the fight. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.